To turn with me today, we are looking in a little book over in the Old Testament that you might have to go to the index to get a good handle on where it's at. But Habakkuk is one of those prophets that didn't write a whole lot, but gives us some great words even today. Out of chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and then we'll turn over to Hebrews 12 and finish with the first two verses. Habakkuk has these words for us today. I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous live by their faith. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so easily, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. May the Lord add richly to the reading of his word. We are so pleased that all of who we are has a foundation in faith. It's something that goes beyond what we can see. Romans 10, verse 17 certainly reminds us, as the video said, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God. One of our beautiful stained glass windows, a couple rows back there, certainly highlights this thing we call the Bible. And we recognize that it is a foundation of one of those pillars of our faith that we have to look to. And it's in that setting that we turn over to one of these prophets that didn't have a lot to say. He was called by God for a specific purpose and a specific time. And it was in that message that Habakkuk was to give to his people that we get a little lesson on what it is we are to do when it comes to faith. Hebrews 11, 1 gives us a great definition of faith. It's one that is listed right before you have name after name after name, which is read about and told about their acts of faith. Hebrews 11, 1 explains faith in this way. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. It's a great definition to talk about how we can be assured of something, that we can be convinced, even though we can't physically see it. It's one of those things that are not tangible, but yet it is something we are to build our very life on. And so Habakkuk was charged to do the very same thing in his time. Not just 200 years ago, like Ann and Adoniram and Judson, but thousands of years ago. God pecked him on the shoulder and said, I have a message I need you to give. I need you to speak out on my behalf. And there are some things you need to be doing as you exercise this thing we call faith. They're all found in that second chapter of Habakkuk. It's the very first verse, and we see three things that Habakkuk encourages us to build our faith on. We are to stand, we are to station, and we are to watch. There's that picture of somebody being on duty. That there are enemies out from the city gates, and it is their job to be the first alert, the first message, to see someone coming in that may want to kill and destroy. We have some cells in our body that seem to work in that same regard. Melissa Frankie may have to help me a bit here to make sure I'm almost on the right page. Melissa, I understand that T cells have a specific part in our immune system. Is there some truth to that? Okay. Whew. All right, good. All right. So as I understand T cells are created so that when foreign bodies or foreign objects, cells, try to attack our immune system, the T cells are there to take care of it. Sort of? Jane, pretty close? Pretty close, okay. That's in very much layman terms. But I was picturing that idea of a T cell, that we also need to be in that same kind of an environment. That we have a community set up in such a way that when things want to attack us, whether it be the economy or whether it be our bad moods or whether it be our neighbors who just aren't cooperating or long lines at the grocery store. I don't know what it is that attacks you from time to time. That we need to be in an environment where we have something to ward off those things that may want to come in to seek to destroy. And so on the wall, the command was to stand, to make sure that you don't lose your ground, and that you don't just sort of give way to whatever's coming, but be ready for it, to be prepared, and then to be ready to take on the next challenge. That idea of station gives us this picture that you've got to show up. There is a time and a place when you're going to be called upon to do your part. And it involves arriving at your station to be there and in place so that God, in fact, can work through you. And not just enough to show up and to be there, but then to also be watchful in the process. I tried to watch the band there yesterday in all of their different moves. If you've ever seen those 120 players try to negotiate all of their different turns, it's quite a feat to try to see everybody. I did notice that three of them took a little fall as they turned a little bit too quick. I was told that five of them actually fell, but you couldn't prove it by me. I was trying to watch. I was trying to, you know, focus in on what was going on, but there were things that totally got by me in the process. When we are called to be at our stations in life, it's not just enough to show up. We also have to be ready and to watch. Because then what is God's response? If we stand where He's called us to stand, showed up where He's called us to show up, to keep watching as He's called us to watch, then He gives us a great response in the next three verses. And they involve to write, to wait, and then ultimately to live. He gives us this call to write our vision, that He places in us something that we have to look forward to. A vision is something that's not right in front of us, but it's something that is out there. And we're not exactly sure how it might materialize, but it's coming to us in one form or another. God says, don't be afraid to write your vision as you rely upon my life of faith. as you build your belief system around God and all that He offers, be able then to see a vision He has in front of us. We've talked about small group ministry at our campus ministry up at AB now for the last 4 years. And so this year we talked about it again, and I said, now, do we have anybody willing to be leaders? And so we had 6 males and 6 females say they were willing to be leaders. And I said, well, do we have anybody willing to be wingmen? People that would come along beside the leaders. And so as soon as you get your group to 12, your assignment is then to go out and start another small group. And we got another 12 that would that said they would do that. So as of this coming week, we're launching 12 small groups at Alderson Broaddus University. They're going to invite their friends. They're going to pick the times in which they meet, have a time of fellowship and Bible study and service. And it was something that did not happen overnight, but it was something that was an opportunity to have a vision cast out there and to see how God continues to work. We can't be afraid of casting a vision. Many of our little pieces of paper on our wall are still empty. And you say, well, my land, we're never going to get that many groups by the time we start next week. But I believe in a great big God. One who is able to do all things. And it is an opportunity for us to see how we can share in not only our neighbors' lives, but in the lives of others that are in this church over these next 6 weeks as we head into 40 days of community. Don't be afraid to cast or to write a vision. But then God spoke very clearly, it's one thing to cast a vision, the other thing is to realize it may not happen tomorrow. God says, don't get discouraged in the meantime. There may be a time where you have to wait. Our society says, I want it, and I want it now. But the microwave mentality does not solve all things. Although it did work very well with the leftover lasagna I had yesterday. It was great. But anyway, it doesn't always come into play. There may be a wait that is a part of this thing we call faith. And then ultimately, he finishes out in verse 4, and he says, I'm doing all this so that you can have life. The righteous will live by faith. The very foundation of who we are is built in this idea that faith, this assurance of things hoped for, this conviction of things not seen, it will not only sustain us, but then it will allow us to see what those next steps are, what next station He's calling us to be at, where we need to be intently watching and join Him where He's already at work. Now, the Hebrews 11 passage, after the definition, he then spends the whole rest of the time giving us a litany of all of these people that lived by faith. And I tried to show it in a slide. I think it's next, maybe. I hope. Yes. This wall of faith is one that is mentioned all throughout Hebrews chapter 11. You can almost see the names that are there. But we start out with Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, just to mention a few. The writer of Hebrews then says, and there's even more. I just don't have time to write all about them. But it's this wall of faith that is given to us in Hebrews 11. And after the wall of faith is in place, after you see all of these people that have done this very same thing, that have had the opportunity to stand and to be stationed in their right places down through the history of time, to not only watch where they are, but to continue to see that develop and grow as they join God wherever He called them to be. This wall of faith is then given in a picture much like an arena. I don't know how many movies you've watched of the Roman games or some sort of Olympics set way back when. Do we have a picture of maybe one example of? Yeah. So can you picture an amphitheater? All kinds of people everywhere. You've got the royalty in place. Maybe even seated somewhere. I think they're standing in the center of this particular scene, but I picture even special box seats somewhere up in the arena. And it's in those box seats that we see the King of Glory. Or at least it's in that setting that we see Hebrews 12 verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so easily. If there's one thing I'm learning in the running world, a lot of extra clothes slow you down. You think there's any truth to that? The weight of your shoes slow you down. Whatever warm-up suits you have on as you practice, you don't want anything like that on you when you run. And so there's that picture. It's what he's talking about here. He says, lay aside every weight and the sin that clings or hinders you, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. We're in this race of life. We want to be properly clothed for our race. We don't want a lot of other stuff holding us back. And we're racing for one purpose. There is a prize. There is someone that we are racing for. And can you picture after the race, it says, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. He's already present in this amphitheater of life. And as we go through all that we're doing in this world, we look up and we see him sitting there and his approval. His approval that says, well done, good and faithful servant. The struggles that you've been through, the times when you have done the right thing, when no one else seemed to be doing the right thing with you, the times when you've helped one of the least of these, and you've actually given of yourself, all those things allow us to look up to Jesus as he is sitting in this amphitheater of life, this arena of life. And he's not there alone. All of those folks that are talked about in the chapter before, they've ran the race before you. It's not that they're just spectators saying, boy, I'm just really glad you're out there running. They've done it already. And we have their examples to look to. Even Habakkuk himself, to thank him for his part he plays in this arena of life, to give us words of what faith needs to look like, and for us to continue it on. It is indeed our privilege today to go back out into the arena of life and to realize that we are not running this race alone. And that one of the greatest stations in the world that we have, that we're all called to be a part of, is this station at his table. It's a place where we can come and stand. It is a place where we can listen to his small, still voice. And to be able to strengthen the faith that we find in Him. And to recognize that what He has done for us, we now get to remember this morning. Faith is a challenge from time to time. There are many times when we say, well, I just need to see more proof. I'm not sure. This thing of God seems to be the best thing going, but I'm just not always sure. And every time we stop at this station, it not only reminds us, but it builds our faith. It connects us to all those that have come before that have done this in remembrance of Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Almighty God, we are so thankful that You have given us this task of building our lives on faith. We do walk by faith and not by sight. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes as we study the Word of God. And Lord, You call us to stand and to station ourselves and to wait upon You so that we may write a vision. We may see that vision not in an instant way, but in Your timing come to fulfillment and then to live. To answer this call to life, to have life and have it to its fullest as we sit at Your table today, thanking You for this faith that You give us and the faith that we can exercise until You call us home. In Your most gracious and holy name we pray. Amen.